When did the stair handrail become your new best friend? It's time to call Joint Relief Institute. Fast, safe, FDA approved, covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
Well, if you took just the last 40 minutes of tonight's game against the Carolina Hurricanes, not all that bad. Good goaltending from Peter Mrazek, as Kaylee Chelios kept mentioning. The third line of Andreas Athanasiou, Jason Dickinson, and Sam Lafferty doing some good things. Would like to see a little bit more from the top six, but unfortunately you can't just pull the last 40 minutes. You have to include all 60, and the first 20 were dominated by the Carolina Hurricanes, outshooting the Hawks 23-7, leading them 2-0 after the first 20 minutes, and far too tall of a mountain to climb to overcome a 3-0 deficit against the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. We're taking you up to 9:30 tonight. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. But right now, we're going to take Kaylee Chelios' thoughts as we'll pull her back in from the PNC Arena. She's been on the call with John Weideman and will be for the rest of the road trip as well. And Kaylee, that first period was definitely the bugaboo in this one. Probably not enough for the Blackhawks to come back if you just took those last two periods by themselves. But we've seen this team find themselves down by a couple of goals early on. We can't take out that first period. What we can do is look ahead for the next game. And you were mentioning on the broadcast, and I agree with you, there are some things to pull from the end of tonight's game to bring into tomorrow's, or rather Wednesday's game.
Yeah, they were the comeback kids in the beginning of the season, but that gets exhausting after a while, and it's tough on your goaltender as well. But it was just challenging. They weren't able to really play without having, you know, they had to do a good job, I think, at finding that balance of not playing with risk and still trying to get one on the board, and they just couldn't seem to solve Antiranta. But you're right, Joe, that first period was just all Carolina. They were zipping the puck. That's what Carolina does well. You knew Rod Brind'Amour was going to have this team rolling from puck drop. They weren't going to sit back on home ice coming out of the holiday break with the way they've been playing, and they're hunting down a Stanley Cup championship and playing some really good hockey as of late. So the final 40 minutes, and especially the final five of the game, a lot to build off of. The top line was contained pretty well by Carolina, but that opened up some opportunity for the third line of Dickinson, Lafferty, and Athanasiou to get things going. And Dickinson, a point-blank chance near the end of the game, Athanasiou, a post, and it would have been nice for the Hawks to maybe capitalize on their power play to give them some momentum.
The ending of this one did remind me of the rough game against the New York Rangers when they lost, 7-1 at the United Center, because it was the same thing. They were giving it their all to the very end of the third period, trying to avoid the shutout. And you and John kept talking about it. The enthusiasm was there. It didn't matter the score. It didn't matter the opponent. They were still trying to play for something, and it was to avoid the shutout. And that night, same thing here tonight. Unfortunately, they're just not able to find the back of the net.
Yeah, that's a great point. I thought, too, it was really indicative their efforts and how bought in they were at playing a complete game. When Martinuk scores that third goal, the Hawks had just killed off a big PK. Mrazek makes a save. Murphy made a great clear just before that. And then the puck takes a bounce and ends up right in the front of the net. Seth Jones's stick is stuck in Mrazek's leg, and whether or not that would have allowed, whether or not he would have made the save, probably not, based on where Martinuk was with the empty net all alone on the back post. But either way, you know, I thought their efforts after that, they could have sat back, packed it in, and let Carolina take it to them, because they got some momentum after that. But they didn't. They fought hard, played some, had some physical shifts too. Jack Johnson stepping up at the blue line and breaking Stepan's stick with his body was, you know, that just shows you've got good veteran leadership, and you know they're coming to the rink to work every day. That's a step in the, are you progressing? Are you getting better despite losing? And I think tonight was a yes for me.
Well, and speaking of Peter Mrazek, a career high in terms of saves tonight. He had 46 of them, a career high in shots on goals faced. 49 of them. Twice on the TV broadcast, they kept showing Alex Stalock, just because he wasn't sitting on the bench. He was sitting in the corner, kind of what they do at Madison Square Garden. It could have been one of those nights where things just get out of hand, especially in that first period, and you pull the goalie just to shake some things up. But Peter Mrazek did a very nice job tonight in limiting the damage.
He made some 10-bell saves early on. This game could have got out of hand a lot sooner, and I think his saves gave the Blackhawks confidence and momentum, too, and allowed them to play some better, tighter defense and protect the middle a little bit more. Luke Richardson's okay with those perimeter shots, and he said this morning you have to be comfortable in games like that where they're shooting the puck from the perimeter and they're getting some sustained offensive zone time. As long as they're not in the high-danger areas of the ice, that's okay. And I think Peter Mrazek, he's a veteran, as is Alex Stalock. They're willing to hang in there and make those saves. It's the ones, you know, the east-west saves, the ones that they can't come out and challenge the shooter. Those are the ones that'll break you down and cost you in games. So they did a good job at trying to minimize those as much as possible. When they didn't, Mrazek was there.
No matter what the Hawks did tonight, this is a very good Carolina team, and I think it's easy to expect them to go on a long run in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I remember watching them in 2020 in the playoffs. They got beat by Tampa, but that was a really hard-fought series. It almost felt like, depending on how Game 5 shook out there, when they were up, I believe it was 2-0, and then took a bad penalty, gave up 3 power play goals. That changed the series, just that game and that moment. But I mean, they're a team poised to go deep. I think if they add a little bit more bite in their bottom six, maybe a big player like a Reeves, and they get Pacioretty back, they're going to be one really dangerous team, the way just the structure and style they play, and Rod Brind'Amour being their backbone.
Well, and ironically, they added a little bit of bite when they signed Brent Burns, who's missing some teeth, but he still brings quite a bite to the Carolina Hurricanes.
It's an empty bite. I don't know how he eats apples, because he never puts his fake teeth back in. Lafferty does. I know he's lost his chiclets a couple times, but he still puts in the veneers when he needs to. But Burns is all airwaves.
he's just sticking with that tough guy hockey mentality.
Mm-hmm, the beard, I think, much like Scott Darling, who told us he hasn't shaved his beard since 2013.
Wow.
I know. I think Burns, I don't know that I've seen him with a bare face either in that long.
Yeah, totally different person, but if we were to see that.
Same looks.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
Kind of the Hell's Angel look, but hockey.
For sure. All right, Kaylee, well, great stuff. Enjoy the rest of the road trip, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days against the St. Louis Blues.
All right, looking forward to it, Joe. Thank you. Have a great night.
All right, thanks. You too. That is Kaylee Chelios. She and John Weineman with the call tonight as the Blackhawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 3-0. Second time that the Hawks have fallen to Carolina with that exact score. Again, it was Pyotr Kochetkov pitching a shutout against the Blackhawks at the United Center back on November 14th. He ended up getting a 4-year contract with the Carolina Hurricanes just 9 days after that performance. Kind of one of the younger goaltenders in their system. He won a Calder Cup with the Chicago Wolves the previous year. And then you get Antti Raanta, former Blackhawk, pitching a shutout against his former team. His 16th career shutout, his second career shutout against his former team in the Blackhawks. And actually for the Blackhawks, this is, as I said earlier, the second time they were shut out against the Carolina Hurricanes. Sixth time they were shut out this year. They fall to 8-21-4 on the season. The Carolina Hurricanes improved to 23-6-6. Make another note of it. That is their ninth straight win. That is their 15th straight game in which they've earned at least a point. And I believe they have won now 14, or make it 13 out of their last 15 games. They are on a complete roll. They've only had one regulation loss since the last time they faced the Blackhawks. Again, November 14th at the United Center. So, again, two things can be true. The Blackhawks did not play a great first period. They played a better second period. They didn't let things just get out of hand in the third period. But that first period is pretty pivotal, and the Carolina Hurricanes are a very good team. Both things can be true. Both things can be factored into this game, much like the New York Rangers game a few weeks back. You were hoping that the Blackhawks were going to contain some of that momentum against the Columbus Blue Jackets last Friday night before the Christmas break and carry that into tonight's game against Carolina. But again, you can't just butt up those two games to each other and compare them. There's way too many variables. There's two totally different teams in the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Carolina Hurricanes. As Kaylee Chelios and I were talking, probably the best thing to do is pull out some of the highlights that you get from the final 40 minutes and carry that into Thursday night's game against the St. Louis Blues. I know I said earlier Wednesday night's game. It's the holiday season. Days are just lost. Nobody knows what day it is. Anybody probably has a hard time remembering what date it is until New Year's Eve comes along, which will be next weekend, or this upcoming weekend, I should say, when the Blackhawks will visit the Columbus Blue Jackets New Year's Eve during the afternoon, and then they quickly come back home to start a long 7-game homestand at the United Center beginning on New Year's Day. That'll be against the San Jose Sharks. They are just kind of jam-packing the month of January before the All-Star break comes in February. But the Blackhawks lose tonight 3-0 to the Carolina Hurricanes. The Hawks now see their one-game winning streak come to an end after a 5-2 victory against Columbus last Friday. But Carolina now with a 9-game winning streak. They are 23-6-6. And a very talented, very fast, and very complete team, as Kaylee Chelios had mentioned earlier. Maybe missing a few of the star scorers, guys like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, maybe not on this Carolina Hurricanes team, but a complete team that they have in terms of the three aspects or four aspects in offense, defense, special teams, and goaltending. Have a lot of guys to rely on in between the pipes, too. We've mentioned Kochetkov, Antti Raanta, and then even Frederik Andersen, who's dealing with some injuries right now, has put up great numbers this year. It's a very solid team put together by Rod Brind'Amour. Before we get to our first break, and we've got a lot to get to, again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can call or you can text. We'll go ahead and give our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, with teams that take on the toughest cases at over 200 locations. The player with the most heart tonight will be Peter Mrazek, again, with a career-high 46 saves tonight, a career-high 49 shots on goal faced. He had a couple of stellar saves, especially in the first period and in the third, but more importantly, just kept this game at hand for the Blackhawks. We've talked about this a lot this year, mainly regarding Arvid Soderblom, who was called up from Rockford, had to fill in for Peter Mrazek, then had to fill in for Alex Stalock, then again for Peter Mrazek. He was just huge for this team in terms of holding down the fort of the goaltending aspect for this season. But tonight it ends up being Peter Mrazek. And there's been nights where we've brought up Peter Mrazek. There's been nights where we've brought up Alex Stalock as well. So hopefully this can continue for the Blackhawks goaltending-wise, because, again, it's pretty huge for this team to be in games for as long as they possibly can. It's year one of a rebuild. They're going to face very tough opponents. They're going to face really tough opponents, kind of like when they faced the New York Rangers last week, when they faced the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. If the goaltending can hold their own, it at least gives the rest of the team a fighting chance for the full 60 minutes. I think that was a case here tonight. Even though the Blackhawks didn't really have much life offensively in the second period or in the third period, they did a good job of at least holding their own, limiting the damage of the Carolina Hurricanes, and making it somewhat of a game towards the third period. Once that third goal goes in, it's a pretty tall mountain to climb. It's probably not going to happen. But you saw the offensive ingenuity to just try and pick up one goal. If they pick up one goal, it changes things, and it just kind of changes the drive in the locker room and on the bench as well. This team still has a lot of team camaraderie, still a lot of team chemistry, and that's tough to do here in year one of a rebuild when the Hawks are on as rough of a spell as they are. We've got Jack, who is at the game in Carolina, so it sounds like he's tuning in all the way from Carolina, maybe on the radio app. What are you listening, Jack, on the radio? Are we sending the signal all the way out to Carolina right now?
No, I'm listening on the app. So just got in the car, heading home, and oh, there's not too many Hawks fans to commiserate with, so I just need to call in and say that was a rough game. But obviously, Carolina's a good team. It was a really good environment that was out here. I was with my brother-in-law, who's not a hockey guy. And at the end of the first period, he just looked at me and said, it just looked like the Hawks were missing a guy the whole time on the ice for that first period. And, you know, obviously couldn't build off of it. But second period, we got better, looked a lot better. But that first period was pretty rough and couldn't rebound, obviously.
Yeah, it was definitely the biggest part of the game. Again, being outshot 23-7, two quick goals, the first one within the first 5 minutes. Jack, are you driving all the way back to Chicago right now?
No. We moved out here a couple of years ago. So no, absolutely not.
Okay, all right. Well, I was curious. I know about the rough travel that's going on right now. So I thought, I was thinking, man, what a devoted Blackhawks fan driving all the way to Carolina just to catch that game.
No, we moved out here, but they really do, you know, for as much as I know I used to give flack to just kind of, you know, the team out here, they got a really strong fan base from living out here. They really love their team. So anyway, it's a nice little hockey community that they got out here. Pretty full stadium. I was telling my brother-in-law, you know, for a Tuesday night against a bad Hawks team, I was surprised at how many people turned up for the game, but again, obviously, in the middle of the rebuild, we're probably gonna have a lot more nights like this, not just for tonight, but probably for at least for next year, I would think too. So hopefully it's worth it, but time will tell.
I hear you. Well, Jack, really appreciate you. Yeah, appreciate you chiming in and appreciate the enthusiasm, and safe travels back home.
Yep, thanks, bud.
All right, sounds good. That is Jack. He is on his way home from the game. And if you were at the game tonight or not, just watching it, feel free to give us a call, give us a text, 312-981-7200, as the Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, 3-0. We've got more to get to, but first we've got to get to a break. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Just a moment ago, we heard from a Blackhawks fan driving home from the game out at the PNC Arena in Carolina. He's a transplanted Blackhawks fan. Jack was his name. But he was heading back home in Carolina. Not so much all the way back to Chicago. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. You can call like Jack did. Or you can text like our buddy Tim from Urbana always does, only when the Blackhawks lose. Texting in, "The Hawks are quitters. They don't deserve to get paid. They don't even deserve to eat." All right. Continue on with the morality down there, Tim. The Blackhawks get shut out tonight to the Carolina Hurricanes, 3-0. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 9:30 tonight. This one was kind of decided by the first period, even though it was a much different game after the first 20 minutes. But Carolina, a very good team, able to take advantage of just about any Blackhawks mistake and pounce on it. I think Kaylee Chelios even said when they smell blood in the water, they pounce quickly. And that's exactly what they did in the first 5 minutes of this game.
Murphy put a shoulder into Svechnikov to angle him off the puck, but the Canes get it back. A long shot by Burns from the right point. They score. Dangling in front of the Hawk net, Martin Natchez was trying to get position on Connor Murphy. Murphy looked like he'd done a pretty effective job of keeping Natchez away from the puck, but when Mrazek made the save with the blocker, the rebound laid near his feet, and Natchez was able to work it over the goal line. It's 1-0 Carolina.
It did stay a goal for Natchez. The Blackhawks giving up the first goal in 26 of their 32 games this year. And you knew it was going to be coming quickly from Carolina, which is what they were able to do for a quick 1-0 lead. There was another goal nearly right after that, a turnover by Pina Mrazek in front of his own net. But other than that, he really didn't have too many blemishes tonight. It's even hard to blame the majority of the goals. In fact, maybe all three goals on him tonight, as there were some opportunities for the Blackhawks to maybe clear the puck out or win a faceoff, and that's exactly what they didn't do later on in that first period, which turned out to be another goal for Carolina for a 2-0 lead.
And now this one deflects in, a centering pass from beside the Hawk net. It looked like Jordan Staal might have gotten a piece of it from in front of the net. But Jesper Fast was the one that centered the puck. This may have hit a Blackhawk player as well. Some confusion in front of the Hawk net results in a goal for Carolina. It's now 2-0 Hurricanes.
It is a goal for Jesper Fast in creating a five-game point streak for him. It was Carolina winning the faceoff in the Blackhawks zone. And we've said it before, good teams just create their own bounces. You can't blame a team's loss on puck luck. But Carolina definitely had some puck luck in that instance. Not even only just on the goal. It was Pesci's shot from the far right circle that had ricocheted off of one of the Blackhawks players and went to Jesper Fast, and then Fast actually was trying to pass it across the ice. Instead, it went off of Connor Murphy's skate, in past Peter Mrazek, and it's quickly a 2-0 lead for the Carolina Hurricanes, not even nine minutes into the contest. So you already knew right then and there that the Blackhawks were going to have a difficult time coming back from that. The Hurricanes picked up 11 of the first 12 shots on goal, and it wasn't until maybe the final 6 or 7 minutes of the first period that the Blackhawks finally started generating some type of offensive looks, but they were still outshot in that first period, 23-7, made it very difficult for them in that first period. Things did change in the second period. The Hawks started with a man advantage, actually a minute 40 of one-man advantage, but then they increased it to a two-man advantage for about 21 seconds, and then later on had another power play after that. They had some good looks with the two-man advantage, not so much for the rest of the expiring penalty. And then even the Carolina Hurricanes had a couple of 3-on-1 and 2-on-1 chances shorthanded. So not only was Carolina able to hold most of the momentum 5-on-5, but then even in shorthanded occurrences. However, the Blackhawks went on the PK for the first time in that second period, did a really good job of holding down Carolina and not allowing any shots on goal. Tyler Johnson fired a shot that went off the post, so the Blackhawks were making some noise. They were getting close in that second period, but unfortunately nothing to show, only outshooting the Hurricanes 10-7 in that second period. We moved into the third period. The Hawks looked to continue that momentum that they had generated in the second, but it was Carolina, once again, within the first 5 minutes of the period, able to score once again.
Slavin to center ice up the left wing with a puck, whips it down the board behind the net. It goes and ricochets out of the far corner off of Phillips' stick. Martinuk's got the puck at the top of the crease with a backhand shot. He scores. Well, that could happen to anybody at any time. Isaac Phillips went to play the puck in the far corner in the Hawk zone after it had been fired down the boards, and it ricocheted around to him. He had his stick turned to try and receive the puck, and the puck just ricocheted right out in front of the Hawk net. A scramble ensued. Martinuk held his position and fell. The loose puck and swept it home. It's now 3-0 Carolina.
Yeah, just kind of a tweener for Isaac Phillips. I mean, if you want to chalk that up as a rookie mistake, okay. I do think there's a little bit of puck luck involved there too. I just caught up on Phillips very quickly. And even if he doesn't handle the puck immediately, the fact that it went just right in front of the crease is where the puck luck, from my guesstimation, would come from. Just a rough spot for Isaac Phillips. It turns into a 3-0 lead for the Carolina Hurricanes. And again, they're a good team that's going to create their own luck, that's going to take advantage of some opportunities, and they do so with a 3-0 lead. That would be the final score of the game. Antti Raanta picking up his 16th career shutout, his second against the Blackhawks in his career, his former team. But again, a hat tip and a stick tap to Peter Mrazek as well for a career-high 46 saves and a career-high 49 shots on goal faced overall. The Blackhawks suffered their 6th shutout loss of the season. They fall to 8-21-4 on the season. Carolina improves to 23-6-6. It's their 9th straight win. It's their 15th straight game with a point. That is a franchise record for the Hurricanes. We're going to hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson, and from a few fans, but really quick, a quick break for station identification. Our 3-star selection tonight is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider, with your collision repair needs. Visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. The number 1-star is Antti Raanta, the former Blackhawk goaltender. He picks up, again, a shutout tonight, second against the Hawks, 16th of his career. Jesper Fast, the number 2-star, he picked up the second goal of this game. And Jordan Martinuk had the 3rd goal of this game. He ends up picking up the number 3-star. From our text line, and again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200, you can call or you can text. We heard from Jack, who was driving home from the game. This one from the 608 area code. Isn't it time to let Taves go to Winnipeg and Kaner go to Buffalo like they want? Aren't they the only two left from the championships, I'm guessing, is what the 608 meant. Yes, they are the only two left. However, it's up to them to decide if they want to get moved. They have the no-trade clauses in their contract. The Blackhawks aren't withholding them from that. I do believe that there is slash or was a meeting between Kyle Davidson and Taves and Kane. I remember some of the media talking about that that was scheduled for after Christmas. We're only a couple of days after Christmas, so it may have happened already. It may not have. Kyle Davidson just had a kid, too, so I imagine that it probably hasn't happened just yet. However, Kyle Davidson, Jonathan Taves, and Patrick Kane, for the record, in terms of them talking to the media publicly, have always been on the same page that they're going to be transparent. Kyle Davidson's not going to do anything that they, or rather, they have. Kyle Davidson is going to allow, or rather, what word am I looking for? Basically, be generous in terms of what Taves and Kane are owed. And again, they have the no trade clauses in their contract. If they don't want to go, they don't have to go. If they want to go, then that gives the green light for Kyle Davidson to shop around and see what's worth trading them. It's not a case of anybody withholding the other. And Taves and Kane were both very transparent at the beginning of the year that they are focused on this season, this Blackhawks team, and this team alone. Obviously, that was back in September. Who knows what they're thinking right now? That's going on in their minds. Not really up for us to speculate. I know everyone has been talking about Kane reuniting with Buffalo for quite some time. But of course, it's also been recently that people are starting to speculate him going to the New York Rangers or the Colorado Avalanche. You just have to wait and see how these all play out. But again, it is up to Taves and Kane first if they would like to waive their no-trade clauses in their contract. Luke Richardson talked with the media about tonight's 3-0 loss to Carolina. Let's hear from the head coach.
Let's jump right in there. There's 23 shots in the first period. That can't have been the start he wanted.
No, but you know, we knew they were fast, and you know, we just weren't really moving our feet much, other than the Dickinson line had a good first period, and I thought we found our legs in the second period, and we're lucky that it was only 2-0. But you know, I think Peter was good. We really didn't have the puck much in the first period, other than Dickinson's line had all the chances for in the first period, and then I think the power plays that started. In the start of the second, like, we had a pretty good chance or two on the, we just missed the back door low, and then Domi's down the hatch shot there. I think those were two really good chances, 5-on-3, but really the power play really didn't generate much for us after that on the 5-on-4s. We just came in too slow, and they're too good and strong with their sticks at the blue line, so that was kind of frustrating. But our penalty kill was doing a good job tonight, you know, and it was good to see that.
We talked this morning about the importance of the first goal and to have to fight from behind again. Was that a factor, you feel like?
Yeah, I think, I thought we had an excellent second period. We'll take that period. You know, we didn't get any puck luck around the net. We got to be a little harder on our sticks and somehow find a way to get pucks off our stick quicker. But, they're a hard team defensively. They have good hard sticks and they close quick. So, they did a pretty good job, but I still liked our second period, to bounce back. We're a little sluggish from a travel day. We talked about it, so we just didn't execute it in the first period. But, this is a team that they did it twice to us this year. They got off to quick starts, and chasing this team, they're a pretty quick team. It's hard to do.
The top six is struggling a little bit like it was tonight. How difficult does that make things? You guys don't have a ton of depth scoring.
Yeah, no, but I thought the Dickinson line really played well. I thought they had a real solid three periods and gave us a lot of chances. I think Athanasio, I don't know if it was the end of the power play or just right after the power play, he hit the crossbar post, and those guys generated a lot of ozone time and created some chances. I think Lafferty just missed the post in the first period too at the end, but the other guys are trying. They're trying to create. This team just closes quick, and they're hard on their sticks, so it's a little frustrating not to get enough offense to give Peter some scoring support that he needs.
49 shots on goal. Some of it's their system just throwing everything at net, but yep. What could you have done differently to
You know, I think there's just we just got to be cleaner on in the first period. I think, you know, most of those shots are really the first period. The second period, I think they got a couple at the end, really, from the outside. And the third period, they kind of, you know, poured it on. They had, you know, a little bit of power play time. But, you know, I don't know if there's much we could have done better than other than just be a little sharper with our breakouts and with the puck in the first period. I think that was pretty much the game right there. And, you know, I thought we responded well, which is good. We just didn't lay over and die. But, you know, we definitely got to be better in the first period. And we're still searching for, you know, more consistency and on a better start and first goals.
Big thanks to NBC Sports Chicago for helping us out get that audio. You might have heard Luke Richardson addressing Mark Lazarus's question of The Athletic about depth scoring for this offense. And he brought up what we were talking about earlier, Jason Dickinson, Andreas Athanasiou, and Sam Lafferty's line. That is huge for the Blackhawks for a third line to start to click. Obviously, it doesn't look huge when the other top two lines aren't pulling their end of the bargain for this game specifically. But this Blackhawks team has had a really difficult time finding the offense to click, finding the right combinations with everybody, seeing who pairs well with who. And Luke Richardson is getting better at that because, let's just face it, that's what happens when you get to know a team from week to week, and then now as we're at month to month. But starting to figure out players' nuances, starting to let players just generate their own chemistry with each other. I think Max Domi and Patrick Kane have been improving greatly in that regard. But if you can have a third line that you can kind of rely on just throwing out there, and Athanasiou, Dickinson, and Lafferty with, again, they kind of mimic each other's play. They've got great energy, but just a lot of speed, especially Athanasiou. Lafferty with that hardworking mentality, just like Jason Dickinson. Lafferty and Dickinson can both play center. They can both take faceoffs. So, again, if we're pulling out positives from this 3-0 loss, it doesn't change the fact that they were overmatched tonight. It doesn't change the fact that this is going to be a difficult year. But if you get a third line that you can rely on a little bit, it makes things a little bit easier offensively to be just relying on certain players each and every night, because again, the Blackhawks don't have a star-studded lineup in terms of a good amount of guys that can just score at willingness and just be able to light the lamp whenever they want. We've got more to get to. Again, if you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls. We'll take your text. Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 3-0. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720 WGN. Time to print our receipts here on the Blackhawks postgame show. They fall to the Carolina Hurricanes 3-0 tonight. You're listening to the Hawks postgame show on 720 WGN. I'm Joe Brand. Here were our FanDuel Sportsbook pregame show picks for tonight's game. We ended up going 1-for-3 tonight. However, the one that we did hit was the biggest payout out of the three. We went with a goal in the first 5 minutes for a payout of plus 172. That is what Martin Natchez did in the first 4 minutes and 38 seconds, I believe. So that was a positive payout. We were pretty close of going 2-for-3. Seth Jones had 2 shots on goal tonight. We needed 3. He had 4 shots total, but one of them was, or rather, 3 shots total, but one of them was blocked. So 2 shots on goal for Seth Jones. We missed out on a payout of plus 108, and we were fairly well off the over of 6 goals. We were looking pretty good in the first 10 minutes with a 2-0 lead for Carolina, but missed out on a payout of minus 114. Again, every pregame show brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. We give you 3 bets to look at. For the most part, we've been doing pretty good this year, but again, tonight, just 1-for-3. A couple other things I wanted to get to as we recap this 3-0 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. The Rockford IceHogs, the AHL affiliate of the Blackhawks, are doing a really cool thing on Saturday, December 31st, on New Year's Eve. They've signed a one-day contract with 6-year-old Samuel Escucha, and he will sign a one-day contract on Friday, December 30th. He's going to be reading the starting lineup. He will be dropping the ceremonial puck drop at the beginning of the game. He'll be a bench buddy, and his mom's going to be singing the national anthem. So again, pretty cool for, again, 6-year-old Samuel Escucha. who actually was just able to experience his first Christmas at home. He's been dealing with hospital stints, ICU visits, dealt with a premature birth and open heart surgery. So we're definitely thinking of Samuel Escutia and his entire family. And what a cool day presented by the Blackhawks organization and the Rockford IceHogs, as again, he gets to be celebrated at the BMO Center on Saturday, December 31st, New Year's Eve. Elsewhere in the World Juniors, where a couple of Blackhawks organizational players are representing the Hawks, five guys over on Team Canada. And we said the other night, Kevin Korchinski was showcased as he fed Connor Bedard for a goal, was able to pick the puck from the neutral zone, and then just feed Connor Bedard. A very nice move as he kind of broke away from the defense, took it down the left wing all on his own, did a toe drag, and made the goalie think he was going to shoot left. Instead, he shot right, scored a goal, but it wasn't enough as Team Canada lost to Czech Republic 5-3. Czechia also with another win tonight against Austria, so they're 2-0 so far in the World Juniors. Also yesterday, Swedish captain Viktor Stenborg, who's part of the Blackhawks organization, also picked up an assist in Sweden's 11-0 win over Austria. And one other note I wanted to mention, I mentioned this in the pregame show, but I wanted to get to it back on Friday night when Alex Ovechkin tied and then passed Gordie Howe for second all-time in terms of goal scorers in the NHL's history. No goals for Ovechkin tonight in the Capitals' 4-0 win over the New York Rangers, but he did pick up another empty net goal, and for whatever reason, Alex Ovechkin is getting a little bit of backlash on all these empty net goals. I don't quite see it. I think it's cool for the game. I think it's cool for his team and teammates trying to be a part of it and trying to feed him some empty net goals. Wayne Gretzky had 56 empty net goals. Alex Ovechkin still too shy of matching the great one. But how about number three, the third most empty net goals in NHL history, Marian Hossa with 40 of them. So again, it goes Wayne Gretzky, Alex Ovechkin, and Marian Hossa, who was just honored and his number retired at the United Center, with his 81 being hung up in the rafters as the Blackhawks hosted the Pittsburgh Penguins that night. But just pretty cool to see just another accolade for Marian Hossa, a guy who may have been undervalued throughout the NHL and maybe even in Chicago while he was playing here. Definitely not after, though. He was rightly celebrated, rightly just put a show on at the United Center. The Hawks always do such a great job with that, with any type of ceremony that it is, and very just a cool overall event that was Marian Hossa's number retirement back in November at the United Center. Again, the Hawks fall to the Carolina Hurricanes tonight 3-0. They begin their three-game road trip with a loss. They're going to continue on against the St. Louis Blues on Thursday, the Columbus Blue Jackets on New Year's Eve. That creates a back-to-back. Remember, that game on Saturday got moved up to the afternoon. It's a noon puck drop over in Columbus. Meanwhile, the Blackhawks will be back home on New Year's Day. They begin a seven-game homestand at the United Center. It starts with the San Jose Sharks, and again, a jam-packed month of January. The final 2 weeks of the month of January, the Hawks are playing every other day. It's just one of those things, again, where the schedule just tends to ramp up. And you got the All-Star break coming up that first weekend of February. So the Hawks definitely squeezing in as many games as they possibly can. But off on the wrong foot tonight with a 3-0 loss to the Carolina Hurricanes. We have to still take a look around the NHL. We're going to do just that after this break. We'd also like to hear from you, 312-981-7200. You're listening to the Blackhawks postgame show on 720. WGN. And if you would like to hear about what's been going on in the NHL tonight, come to the right place. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN. They fall to the Carolina Hurricanes tonight 3-0. They fall to 8-21-4 on the season. Carolina improves to 23-6-6, picking up their ninth straight win and their 15th straight game with at least a point. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show, taking you up to 9:30 tonight. We are going to close with a look around the NHL, and we are going to start in Madison Square Garden.
And yield to Kuznetsov. Kuzi coming left side. Now to pass into the right dot for Gustafson. Into the middle for Kuznetsov. Fought off, and they score! Marcus Johansson able to get it last along the left post. Tips it in. It's 1-0 Washington.
And that is John Walton of Capitals Radio Network. The Capitals shut out the New York Rangers tonight 4-0. The Great Eight did not score. He did not pick up goal number 803. But former Blackhawk Eric Gustafson did. He picked up his fifth goal of the season. Remember, he had a hat trick shortly after that game where the Capitals were at the United Center taking on the Hawks. So pretty cool to see that former Blackhawk doing so well. Always a great guy to deal with in the locker room and finding a nice little spot in Washington, much like Dylan Strome as well. But the Capitals now on a bit of a good stretch. They're on a 5-game winning streak. They've won 10 out of their last 11. They improved to 20-13-4 with the win. The New York Rangers moved to 9-12-5. Let's go to Ottawa.
Some guys coming over the boards had deflected that puck into the slot. Now DeBrincat sends it on net. He scores! Alex DeBrincat able to get that puck on his stick with Swayman angling to his right, lifts it the opposite way by the glove hand, and the Senators move back in front 2-1.
We know that guy. That's our buddy Judd Surratt, former WGN alum, 98.5 The Sports Hub, as he's now calling Boston Bruins games. And tonight, a Boston Bruins shootout loss up in Ottawa. But yeah, the former Blackhawk, Alec DeBrincat, scoring the goal, giving Ottawa a 2-1 lead at the time, but then eventually a shootout win for the Ottawa Senators as Cam Talbot made 49 saves in this game. Now let's move to the island.
Jari comes in 11-0-3 in his last 14 games. He has not lost in regulation since November 5th against Seattle. Islanders work it down low to Barzal in the slot. He shoots! They score! Islanders take the 2-1 lead 50 seconds into the second period.
That's Chris King on WRHU 88.7 of Islanders Radio. Two goals for Matthew Barzal today as they take down the Pittsburgh Penguins 5-1. The Islanders improving to 20-14-2 on the season. Pittsburgh Penguins moving to 19-10-5. Anders Lee also with a couple of goals in that one as well. Let's go to Nashville.
33 seconds to go. And again, Nashville skates away with the puck. Cole Smith flying up the ice with Trenin. Trenin pulls it in. He scores! Yakov Trenin! A big play! Shorty to goal! We're tied!
It's Willie Donick on Bally Sports South, excuse me. The Stars and Predators are tied up at 2 with about 6 minutes left in regulation down in Smashville as the Predators are looking to extend their 3-game point streak. Meanwhile, Dallas has earned at least a point in 12 out of their last 14, so both those teams trying to extend those streaks tonight. We do have more highlights to get to, but really quick, we're going to go to Joe in Port Charlotte, Florida, who says that the Blackhawks and Blackhawks fans have been spoiled with 3 cups, but is enjoying the coverage of the team lately. Joe, how's it going? How's Florida?
Well, you know what? It's a little warmer than the Chicago area, but
A little bit?
You know, just a bit. No, hey, I just wanted to call in. I'll tell you what. I travel a lot for work, and I get out of the area, so I don't always have access to watch the game, so I listen in. And you know what? I really appreciate it, and I think Hawks fans, I've been one since I was about 9, and that's about 48 years ago. But, you know, I come down to Florida, I see my parents, and we're spoiled, guys. I'm in Port Charlotte, which is, it's south of Tampa, and it's west of where the Panthers are. But you can't watch a game down here on television. I mean, I've got Dish Network at my parents' house, and you can't. I mean, you get NHL Network, and you kind of, whatever New York team they're putting on today, that's what we're going to watch. But, guys, it's truly awesome to get really good coverage. And that's why, the whole team over there, you do a great job. You've done it for a long time, and I just truly appreciate it. So let's call in and say, hey, Merry Christmas to you guys. Happy New Year, and better times are coming. We're going to win some games. we'll get there.
For sure. Joe, that's very sweet of you. We really appreciate the kind words and all the positivity. It's probably easier to do that down in the Sunshine State right now compared to what we're dealing with.
It's going to be 83
here.
This week, okay?
Yeah, okay, all right, Joe, bit. That's all the time we got, but no.
Sorry, buddy.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the all the kind words, and we're having fun just bringing hockey throughout the Chicagoland area and apparently even further south than that. So we appreciate you tuning in and appreciate you chiming in. Thanks so much, Joe.
All right, have a good one. Take care.
All right, that is Joe from Port Charlotte here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Even got this text from the 847. Apparently, I said Eric Gustafson picked up goal number 803. I said the great eight didn't, but Eric Gustafson did. I want to say I said the great eight didn't score a goal, but Eric Gustafson did. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Anyway, thanks for tuning in this long to the postgame show as we are wrapping things up here, but we've still got some more highlights to get to around the NHL. We're now going to head to the peg.
Lowry hit the post, looking for his third shorthanded goal of the year. Back the other way comes Steele. On to the near side for Hartman. Across the line, Hartman high slot. In front now for Spurgeon, a shot, they score.
That's Paul Edmonds on 680 CJOB Power 97 of the Winnipeg Jets Minnesota Wild game. Currently, the Minnesota Wild are leading the Jets 3-1 with 5:30 left in regulation up in Canada. But don't forget, the Jets are currently without six players due to injury. Let's head down to the desert.
Carpone gets it back. Try to feed one to the front. Hugstad is there, but now along the end boards, they battle for it. Austin Kraus comes in. Kraus trying to take it to the net. He scores! What a power move! Oh, Austin Kraus, a beauty!
Matt McConnell of Bally Sports Arizona is the Yotes are trying to take down the reigning Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. Cal Makar picking up his eighth goal, but the Coyotes have a 3-2 lead over the Avalanche. Former Blackhawk Nick Schmaltz picking up his seventh goal of the season. Arizona just ended their three-game losing skid on Friday before the break. But meanwhile, Colorado is trying to extend their winning streak, which is currently at four games. Let's go to the Battle of Alberta.
Backlund's in front. Mangiapane skates it out the other side. Now Hanifin back at the line. Here's Anderson. Works it all the way across, in deep to his partner Hanifin. In front of Mangiapane, tipped away by Skinner. Coleman on the back end. Rebound, they score. Backlund makes it 1-0 Calgary.
That's Rick Ball of Rogers Sportsnet. That game's still tied up at one after Backlund's goal, Tyson Barry scoring for the Edmonton Oilers earlier in that one. 5:27 left in the second period up in the Battle of Alberta. Still no score, or rather any points for Connor McDavid yet. He's currently riding a 15-game point streak. Tyler Toffoli also has picked up 4 goals and 7 points in his last 4 games. He is still scoreless. Rather pointless on the score sheet as well. The Blackhawks' next game will be against the St. Louis Blues. It's Thursday night, a 7 o'clock puck drop with a 6:30 pregame show right here on 720 WGN.
Shen sends it over the line. Saad buttons up. Now a tired Vegas group trying to defend as the Blues shoot.
Score!
They score! Saad throws it to the goal. Achari might have had a piece of it.
There we go.
And the St. Louis Blues have taken the lead. 4-3 the score.
That's Chris Kerber of 101 ESPN. That was from a few nights ago. The St. Louis Blues right now looks like they're going to head to overtime. They're tied with the Toronto Maple Leafs at 4. Time ticking away in regulation. Let's see. O'Reilly with a goal in that one. Jordan Kyrou. Tavares with a goal for Toronto. But again, 4-4 as the third period is expiring down in St. Louis. The only other game that didn't happen tonight, the Buffalo Sabres were supposed to play the Columbus Blue Jackets, but that game has been postponed due to all the travel complications. Buffalo is having a real rough out there with all the travel complications in the Northeast, and even the Columbus Blue Jackets weren't able to leave Chicago right after the game Friday night before the Christmas break. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Citgo. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Citgo. Budweiser. ComEd for business. ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to all the help we got here at the WGN studios tonight. Our producers of Ben Anderson and Jack Heinrich, and our engineers of the tireless Krista Flores, and even get a little help from Adam Phillips as well. Out at the PNC Arena, John Weideman had the play-by-play. Kaylee Chelios had the color. I'm Joe Brand. Once again, the final score, 3-0 Carolina tonight. The Blackhawks visit St. Louis on Thursday, a 7 o'clock puck drop, a 6:30 pregame. Up next, Steve Ruxton has the news. After that, it's the best of John Landecker. Thanks for listening to another production of Blackhawks Hockey here on 720 WGN.